Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Does good music need to be good? It's a strange question, but it's the one recently posed by music critic Sasha Frere Jones in The New Yorker when he was reviewing the new album by Daft Punk, the French electronic dance band. Sasha writes, "The duo has become so good at making records that I replay parts of Random Access Memories repeatedly while simultaneously thinking it is some of the worst music I've ever heard." Well, if you've heard the much ballyhooed, long-awaited Daft Punk record, I'm sure you have your own opinion. And if you haven't heard it yet, I hope we've piqued your interest, because we'll get a review from Spin Magazine's senior editor, and we'll hear from one of the album's surprising musical guests, the 1970s actor and singer Paul Williams. But first...
Dying by inches every night, what a glamorous life. Brought on by winches to recite, what a glamorous life. Ordinary mothers never get the flowers and all.
The last time the singer and actress Audra McDonald joined us on Soundcheck, it was downstairs in our ground floor green space with her Porgy and Bess co-star Norm Lewis. But today, Audra's here to sing solo. Her first album in 7 years is called Go Back Home, and it's filled with a collection of 20th and 21st century songs from Broadway composers like Stephen Sondheim, Michael Jonathan LaCusa, and Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. The title track off of the album is from another songwriting team, John Kander and Fred Ebb, from their 2010 show, The Scottsboro Boys. We'll talk with Audra in just a moment about the show that the song comes from, but first, here is a live performance. It's Audra McDonald with Go Back Home.
Since I've been away, I'm lonely. When I'm gonna go back home? Walking through the world, things happen right before your eyes. Things happen, soon enough you're lost. And thinking, when I'm gonna go back home. Oh me, oh my, time goes slow. Where's it gone to? I don't know. But maybe times will turn. I pray so. Maybe someday I'll get lucky. Someone's gonna say, all right now, take a train and go back home. Hop a freight and go back home. Take a train and go back home.
That is Audra McDonald live on Soundcheck with the song Go Back Home, which is the title of her most recent album. You heard Andy Einhorn playing our piano, Gene Lewin behind our drum kit, and the five-time Tony-winning actress and soprano Audra McDonald. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here again.
So Go Back Home, that's Kander and Ebb, mm-hmm. the New York guys. Mm-hmm. But this is from a much darker show that they did, the Scottsboro Boys, that trial.
The Scottsboro Nine were these young African-American boys who were riding the train during the Jim Crow era in Alabama and were falsely accused of raping two white women and thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. And so the show, the beautiful show that Kander and Ebb wrote, sort of follows the trial and the story and what ends up happening to these boys, but they do it in a really wonderful way. They use the minstrel show format to do it. So it's incredible social commentary. And it was just, I saw it at the Vineyard Theater and just was knocked out by it and knocked out by the score. And as great and acerbic and ironic and sassy as Kander and Ebb can be, they can also be incredibly, I don't want to say sentimental, but emotional and moving. And that's there's everything in that show, but this song especially just moved me deeply.
So is that how, is that basically how this record happened? Was this a series of songs that you just heard and said, oh, I have to sing that?
Well, some of it, yes, absolutely songs I thought, oh my, I have to sing that. But a lot of it were songs that I've been singing for a while but never recorded. You know, songs that I've been doing in my concerts for a long time. And everybody would say, you know, why isn't that on your album? And I'd be like, I don't know why that's not on an album. I should put that on an album. And so in choosing the music for this album, I just picked my favorite songs, basically. And I do like to say it's kind of a soundtrack of what my life has been like for the past 7 years, actually. So that's how it's all kind of fit together.
So it has been 7 years since the last record, during which time you were on a TV show for 4 years, ABC's Private Practice. Mm-hmm. But was this kind of a homecoming? I mean, the title,
absolutely.
Go Back Home?
Absolutely. You know, in the time from last time I did an album, so much stuff has happened to me personally as well as professionally. You know, getting a divorce and losing my father in a plane crash, and moving out to LA to do this TV show, and then being away from my daughter for too much, and it was just and sort of being away from my roots, my theatrical roots, and so. When I made the decision to come back and leave the TV show and come back home, quite literally, you know, everything in my life started to kind of fall into place. And, you know, and then Porgy and Bess happened. And I just sort of felt whole again. Mm. And that's not knocking television at all. It had more to do with being away from home and doing it, you know.
Right.
And so I just started to feel, you know, the earth beneath my feet again. And so I think this album just kind of came out of a real gratitude for finally being home. And, you know, it's also a look back at kind of what's been going on this past sort of, I think I always say like life happens in 7 year cycles it's definitely what this has been.
The album is called Go Back Home. It's out now. My guest is Audra McDonald. And, you know, anybody who saw you in Porgy and Bess, I mean, you stood out not just because, you know, when you first appear, you're in the red dress and everyone else is in sort of muted colors and stuff. But, you just seemed so at home in your element on that stage singing that music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the years that you were in Hollywood doing the ABC series, did you get to sing?
I mean, no. In fact, the only time certainly not on the television show.
No.
Actually, I did sing once on the television show, but it was a scene where we had been drinking in a bar, and they said to me, and actually Tay Diggs was in the scene as well, and they said to us, we want you both to sound bad.
Uh-huh.
And so Tay and I had to kind of, I'm not saying we had to work on being bad, but we had so much fun, and they said, try and sing really off tune. So it was fun. It was fun for us. But no, I did one summer I came back and I did the 12th Night in Shakespeare in the Park. And then I would do concerts here and there, but I wasn't singing a lot, no.
But that, I mean, the voice is, I mean, that's,
it's like being an athlete. You can't just like not train for 6 months and then suddenly go out there and you know, play football or whatever.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I will say that, you know, I did keep up as much as I could with voice lessons when I'd come home. And in the concertizing too, you know, I'd make sure like a week before I knew I had a concert, I was warming up and all that stuff. But it has more, I think, to do with the... My voice is a part of my identity. So I felt like for all those years that I really wasn't, you know, singing a lot, I felt like I was missing a part of who I was, you know? Like a part of my personality was missing.
Yeah. So a homecoming on a number of levels.
Yes, absolutely.
Go Back Home is the name of the record from Audra McDonald. Now, in addition to well-known songwriters, like we began with a little bit of The Glamorous Life, Stephen Sondheim, which you sing with, there's a little hint of irony or sardonic, approach
to
that.
There's definitely both. I mean, I try to sing it from the vantage point of the young girl who's singing about this, but for me, it's also personally how it affects me is, you know, being the mother of a child, and I'm an actress and singer who's gone a lot, and for me, I sing it from a place of fear of just what that can do to a child and how it affects them.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, well-known people like Sondheim, Kander, and Ebb. Mm-hmm. But then there are younger names like this next song, Baltimore. I have no idea where this song came from. It's the first time I've heard it. It's on your record. Zena Goldrich and Marcy Heisler.
Mm-hmm.
What a funny song this is.
Yes, they're incredible songwriters. And they've written a lot of musicals. They have a few, I think, in workshop right now as well. And they're just an incredible duo. And what I love about this particular song is it's obviously written from very specific personal experience.
I cannot imagine what storyline brings a character to a place where she has to sing about the band REO Speedwagon.
We have a good time.
All right, let's see. You want to play it for us?
Absolutely.
All right, it's Audra McDonald, and the album is called Go Back Home. She's performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. This song is called Baltimore.
When my mother told me, don't forget your rain boots when it's wet, I listened up just like a good, good little girl. And when she prudently suggested I should lose the cigarette, I knew that bit of wisdom was a pearl. But in all of the advice that I collected through the years, I admit to you with trepidatious tread, unfortunately there was some that whizzed right through my ears. Oh, where was my mind when mother said, avoid naval contemplating floppy-haired actors originally from Baltimore, who excel at mime, still play Stratego, and have issues with their mom. Sure, at first they're very charming, their attention is disarming, but give attention in return, and dear, they'll drop you like a bomb. Yes, do avoid REO Speedwagon loving Christopher Walken imitating thespians originally from Baltimore, who can't unless their shrink says it's okay. Why let them break your heart, dear? Put your head on and be smart, dear. Put some bug spray on and make them go away. When my daddy told me, look both ways before you cross the street, I took those words to heart and I complied. And when he told me, be yourself, and I should march to my own beat, I did, and found the truth was bona fide. But in all of the advice that I collected through the years, I have to say I am a bit surprised. I missed the best advice that Daddy trumpeted my way. Ah, where was my mind when he advised? Avoid narcissistic, alcoholic, think they're French, but they're not, waiters originally from Baltimore, who deflower you, carry a copy of Fountainhead in their pocket, and lie about their age. Sure,
sure at first their eyes are steely and their words are touchy-feely. Have them cheat upon you twice, and my advice is more than sage. Yes, do steer clear of Renaissance festival-loving food service consultants originally from Baltimore, who say they dance with NYC Ballet but are really an administrative intern. For it's clear upon reflection, if you give them your affection, you will understand the concept crash and burn. The singles world out there can be a scary land. I have to ask, is it me or is it Maryland? So if you can possibly avoid it, don't fall in love or lust or have crushes on boys from Baltimore. Though at first they seem chock full of style and class, sure, Cal Ripken's charm is actual, but he's married and it's factual. Pimlico is not the only place you'll find a horse's ass. Yes, at all costs, avoid ridiculous, though amusing experiences cultivated in Baltimore. Barry Levinson, I mean no disrespect. If you have to go to Baltimore and meet boys, do not marry them. Although it's true, I hear that they've got quite a nice aquarium. Ladies, take your hearts and run as fast as little legs can carry them. Boys in Boise, boys in Boise always call. You'll have better luck in Joise or St. Paul. No, not St. Paul. But no matter where life takes you, it just makes no sense to fall in Baltimore. Hey, where are you from? Silver Spring?
Audra McDonald singing a song called Baltimore, written by Zena Goldrich and Marcy Heisler, and you'll find it on Audra's latest album, Go Back Home. But that's a live performance with Andy Einhorn at the piano, Gene Lewin behind the drum kit, Audra McDonald with us on soundcheck today, and the Baltimore Chamber of Commerce would like a word.
Any resemblance to characters, real or fictitious, is purely coincidental.
Now, you were talking before about how personal the song selection on this album is. And I know some of the songs, like Edelweiss, yeah. There's a great story. My dad,
I had a music box that played it that I got when I was a baby from my uncle. And when I was auditioning for a dinner theater, a junior company dinner theater in Fresno, California, my very first audition ever, we decided that I would sing Edelweiss, and I didn't know they'd have an accompanist there, so I brought my dad. My dad played it for me. So,
nice. How old were you?
9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Starting early.
Yeah, why not?
But where does Baltimore come into the kind of...
Oh, you know, I think in the sense that every woman has had many...
encounters with REO Speedwagon loving Walken impersonating.
Yes, yes. Or certainly people very close to those very specific descriptions. It's funny, the more I sing the song, the more women come up to me and go, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. A friend of mine came up to me and said, he said, I think that's my roommate. I literally was like, it couldn't be more specific. I think you're talking about my roommate. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, we move on.
Yes,
it's all good. Happy ending. Happy ending. I'm married now. It's a happy ending.
The album's called Go Back Home, and Audra McDonald's here with us in the studio on Soundcheck today. Performing in East Hampton, New York, July 6th at the Guildhall, but before that in Midland, Michigan at the Midland Center for the Arts on June 8th. The album is, these songs sound great with just the three of you here in the studio, but the album's like a full-on, it's a big production.
Well, any time you get a chance to work with more musicians, you do. I'm very lucky that I've been traveling with the same core of musicians, my music director, Andy Einhorn, and Gene Lewin, who's with us here today, and Mark Vanderpool, our bass player, who's actually not with us here today. And we travel throughout the country together, but for an album, you know, you want it to get as many people as you can cram in the studio in there to just fatten that sound up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly what we did. Although some of them still actually need the intimacy of you know, smaller arrangements. Actually.
Right, right. Now, some of the songs, are reasonably well known. Something like Baltimore is sort of giving, mm-hmm. a younger set of songwriters a chance to mm-hmm. be heard. And that's something you've done pretty
yes.
consistently.
Yeah, you know, since my first album, Way Back to Paradise, it's something that I've, you know, and it wasn't any sort of, you know, grand plan when I first made my first album. It was just, you know, these are all the songs that I'm singing and working on right now. And I'm working with Ricky Ian Gordon. I'm working with Michael John Lacusa and Adam Gettle and Jason Robert Brown. I was actually with all of them. So I thought, well, this is a great idea to put them right. all together. But I don't think, you know, I didn't think that the album would have the effect that it did. You know, I just didn't dream that it would. But,
because
you know,
it did catapult not just you, but Ricky Ian Gordon and Adam Gettle.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You know. I think it certainly helped. And I think it sort of shined the spotlight on, you know, all this great talent that's out there that needs to be brought to, you know, people's attention. And mm-hmm. and there's so much and there's so many still out there. And so I just, you know, and also even with that being sort of a mission for me now, it's always still about, does the song move right. me? Does it grab me? You know?
So you're out there, you're off Broadway, checking out shows
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. And then, you know, people like my music director, Andy Einhorn, and other people, they bring mm-hmm. songs to me and think you might like this one. What do you think of this? And
well, the album has a kind of a happy ending.
Yes.
I mean, literally, it's
yes.
Make Someone Happy.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
this...
You know, in everything that I've gone through, and I think a lot of people can, you know, certainly have similar experiences of going through, you know, a rough period in your life and looking for lessons. You know, what's the lesson here? What can I learn from this? How have I grown? How has this changed me? And this song has sort of become the mantra for me, you know, in that what's when I am most happy, it's when I am making those around me happy and making my family happy. And that's where I get the most fulfillment. And it's a song I've been singing since I was a little kid and, you know, didn't really understand it when I was a little kid, just sang along because, you know, I knew it.
It was a catchy tune and Jimmy Durante
yes,
had a big hit
yes,
with it.
Yes, of course. And then I think there was like a commercial that had
yeah,
it on
yeah.
for a while.
Yep.
Margarine commercial? Maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah, no, that sounds right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was the Jimmy Durante recording,
version,
in
yes,
fact.
Yes, I just.
All right, Audra, we're dating ourselves here, so let's stop talking and start
yeah.
with the singing, shall we?
Save us, okay.
Audra McDonald is my guest on Soundcheck. The song is called Make Someone Happy. It is the concluding track on her new album, Go Back Home, but here once again, a live performance in the Soundcheck studio.
The sound of applause is delicious. It's a thrill to have the world at your feet. The praise of the crowd is exciting, but I've learned that is not what makes a life complete. There's one thing you can do for the rest of your days that's worth more than applause. The screaming crowds, the bouquet. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart the heart. You see, build your world around them. Make just one someone happy. Make just one the heart you sing to. One a smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. Someone you're everything to. Fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life we cling to?
Make Someone Happy. That is Audra McDonald live on Soundcheck with Andy Einhorn at the piano, Gene Lewin behind the drums. You'll find that on Audra's newest record called Go Back Home, a musical homecoming, as she's been describing it, her first new record in 7 years. And while in amongst all the other stuff, Audra, that you've been doing in those 7 years, you've been amassing quite the Twitter following. And on the way here, you tweeted, "It's raining right now. You want to know why? Because I decided to straighten my hair and go outside. As soon as I step inside, it'll stop. Hashtag Afro."
Yep.
You were half right. It did stop as soon as you got here.
Yeah, it did.
But
it
your
did.
Hair looks great. So no harm, no foul.
It looks good for radio.
Well, you know, there's a reason the video camera has been pointed at you all afternoon.
No.
Listeners, you'll be able to watch video of Audra performing here in the studio at soundcheck.org. Audra, it's always so much fun to have you on the program.
Thanks. It's always so much fun to be here with you. I had such a good time.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on the new record.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. Soundcheck wants you at our next live show in the Green Space. We've got a great lineup for you on June 12th. I'll be joined on stage by comedian Tig Notaro, whose adventures with singer Taylor Dane you may have heard about on This American Life. Also, a conversation with composer Jeff Richmond, whose credits include 30 Rock, Saturday Night Live, and an upcoming musical version of Mean Girls, the film from his wife, Tina Fey. And, of course, we'll have live music from Robert Randolph, the lap steel guitar player, with his aptly named group, The Family Band. If you're not familiar, here's a clip of Robert Randolph's new album, Lickety Split. Robert Randolph and the Family Band, the comedian Tig Notaro, and composer Jeff Richmond, all joining me June 12th, 7 p.m. in the Green Space. Hope you'll join us, too. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. The new album from Daft Punk has spawned a heavy favorite for the annual Song of the Summer title, but it has also divided longtime fans of the French dance duo. Chris Weingarten of Spin magazine gives us his take, and later hit songwriter Paul Williams was one of the unexpected guests on the Daft Punk record. We'll talk with him about his role. This is Soundcheck.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The French electronic dance band Daft Punk recently released their fourth studio album. It's called Random Access Memories. The album is a bit of a departure. It includes guest appearances from former Chic frontman Nile Rodgers, the Italian disco hitmaker of the 70s, Giorgio Moroder, and the Oscar-winning lyricist and composer Paul Williams. We'll actually talk to Paul in just a little bit. But first, let's get an overall review of the album. Joining me here in our Soundcheck studio once again is Spin Magazine's senior editor, Chris Weingarten. Chris, good to have you back.
Good to be here. Thanks.
You did a quick, impulsive review for Spin.
I did.
You gave it 7 out of 10.
Sure.
On further reflection and listening, have you changed your rating?
High 7, low 8.
Okay. The single, which we were just hearing a bit of, is Get Lucky. You know, that's the first song to top the new Spotify charts, based on most played songs of the past 7 days. So it seems like people are responding at least to that track.
I mean, people would have responded to a Daft Punk track no matter, you know, what it was. The hype on this was so huge in internet circles that...
Explain why. Where do they fit in the constellation of musical stars?
You know, well, they came up when the first wave of electronica, as they called it back in the 90s, was coming up. And, you know, they had some records that were well-received and some records that weren't very well-received. And in their absence, an entire new generation of electronic musicians were able to start headlining festivals and, you know, start filling stadiums and, you know, creating a cultural movement that can't be ignored. And mm-hmm. a lot of them owe a huge, huge debt to Daft Punk. Like, Deadmau5 will be the first to tell you that he got by using a lot of stagecraft, you know, hiding behind a mask, you know, mm-hmm. all this stuff was owed back to Daft Punk. And they had this huge revival that happened while they weren't even making records. You know, their last record was 2005, and it tanked on Billboard and was barely a blip, was critically savaged.
Mm. And now here they are, 2013, with a new album and a whole new world where EDM, electronic dance music, is like, as you were saying, it's filling arenas, headlining festivals.
Yeah, people really don't understand how huge this is. You know, it's... You know, these are headliners.
Right.
These aren't, you know, these are things that compete with Kings of Leon.
Or the Rolling Stones.
Sure.
All right, so into this environment comes the return of Daft Punk, still wearing the masks. You know, it's all about anonymity. I mean, we know their names, but...
And sounds nothing like this.
And sounds completely different. I mean, they come out with this album full of live musicians, real instruments and stuff. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think that the real feat of this record was digging up the uncool and making it cool.
Mm-hmm. So we have the return of Paul Williams, who we'll speak to in a couple of minutes, and this track called Giorgio by Moroder. Now, you know, they didn't just have the idea to get Giorgio Moroder, most famous for his work with Donna Summer, to come back and be on their record. They had the even crazier idea to use him talking about. I mean, he's basically like telling us about his life story, it seems.
You know, you got to think that, you know, the EDM generation, these kids are 18, 19 years old, and they may not know, you know, the story behind Giorgio Moroder, and he's schooling them. And it doesn't sound like Donna Summer Giorgio Moroder. It sounds like, you know, Cat People soundtrack Giorgio Moroder. It's like it sounds. It's not a dance song. It's a car chase.
We're speaking with Chris Weingarten, the senior editor of Spin magazine, about the new album by the French electronic band Daft Punk, And this is going a bit further into the song. It's like a 9-minute opus from Daft Punk called Giorgio by Moroder. Daft Punk and a track called Giorgio by Moroder, which actually begins with the sounds of Giorgio Moroder, the Italian disco hitmaker, apparently being interviewed about his life and his career. Chris Weingarten playing some mean air drums here in the Soundcheck studio. The drumming here, that's real drumming. That's a real drummer. That's not electronic.
Yeah, I don't, you know, they got Omar Hakim and John Robinson, who actually played on Off the Wall. You know, they got
the Michael Jackson record.
Yeah, the Michael Jackson record. They got, you know, some really sick drummers to do some really sick drumming, you know.
And when you, just to clarify, when you say sick, you mean good.
I mean fantastic, yes. I mean, you know, busy and alive.
Other guests, it's not all kind of the past, you know, the older generation. Julian Casablancas of the Strokes makes an appearance here. What do you make of Instant Crush?
I think Julian is a very savvy choice. It reminds me of when rock bands were making disco records in a way. Like, you know, it was Blondie and the Rolling Stones and Kiss and Rod Stewart and all these rock dudes were making disco records. And so here's Daft Punk saying, okay, we're going to have a contemporary rocker, you know, come into our world. And, I think his voice is really suited to pop music. You know, I think that rappers should be using him to sing hooks instead of, you know, the dude from Coldplay.
Well, Julian's voice with the Strokes, you know, we usually hear it through some kind of distortion effect. So in that respect, he's kind of a good fit for Daft Punk, who have done so much of the vocoder,
I mean,
auto-tune effect.
They run him through a lot of vocoder and auto-tune and you know, almost to the point where he's, not to the point where he's unrecognizable, but, you know, he's definitely in the robot world.
This is Daft Punk featuring Julian Casablancas of The Strokes and a song called Instant Crush. Casablancas of the Strokes is the featured vocalist on that Daft Punk track called Instant Crush from the new Daft Punk record called Random Access Memories. The excitable Chris Weingarten with us on Soundcheck, senior editor of Spin Magazine. Did you get the same impression from this record that I did, which is just like, so many ideas that they're beginning to trip over each other?
I wouldn't call it a cohesive record by any stretch of the imagination, but they're really good ideas for the most part.
So, I mean, in a track like Touch, which is one of the Paul Williams tracks, we'll talk to him about it in a moment, but it's 8 minutes long. So we have a 9-minute track, we have this 8-minute track, and it's just, I mean, what do we make of this? Is it like a Frankenstein thing that's been stitched together from different ideas?
You know, I think that one's a little more of the less successful experiments on the record. You know, I do like that, you know, these songs are getting people to talk about names that were never cool, like, you know, George Duke or Michael McDonald or whatever, and they're getting critics to reach back into this instead of, you know, writing television's name for the 100th time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this is maybe even a little bit like Donna Summer's MacArthur Park or something, where it's, you know, this, it's a little bit of a journey.
It's an epic, for
it's
sure.
It's certainly an epic.
So let me ask you, I mean, is this an album that you need to listen to as an entire package to sort of get the overall?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, I think it's totally acceptable to pick and choose with this mm-hmm. record. I think the success of Get Lucky speaks to that. I think that if they decide to release Lose Yourself to Dance as a single, that will speak to that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's going to have their favorite moments on this record. It's not something that I feel that needs to be absorbed as one piece.
And is Lose Yourself to Dance one of your favorite moments from the record?
Lose Yourself to Dance is probably my favorite moment of the record. Because these guys are such record geeks and such deep diggers, it's a nostalgia for something I can't exactly place.
Hmm.
You know, it's a nostalgia for something that I wasn't old enough to experience. And it's hard for me to draw the lines like I could for a band who was a little more open and obvious about what they were pillaging.
Well, there's pillaging aplenty on the new Daft Punk record called Random Access Memories. Chris Weingarten of Spin Magazine, nice to see you again.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you so much for everything.
Some of Daft Punk's Lose Yourself to Dance from their new album, Random Access Memories. Up next, we'll hear from one of the collaborators on that new album, Paul Williams. The Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter is perhaps best known for his work with Kermit the Frog and the rest of the Muppet Gang back in the 70s, but he had a hand in a couple of the new Daft Punk songs. He's coming up next on Soundcheck.
So we've been told and I know their wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. As we just heard, the French dance band Daft Punk has released a new album. It's called Random Access Memories, and on it, they've left behind many of their familiar electronics and machines and turned instead to a more organic style of writing and producing. One of the human beings tapped for the project is the award-winning composer Paul Williams, perhaps best known for songs like Rainy Days and Mondays and We've Only Just Begun, and of course, The Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie, which he's discussed with us on Soundcheck before. Today, Paul's on the line to talk about his collaboration with Daft Punk. Paul Williams, welcome back to Soundcheck.
It's good to be back. Thank you. And a surprising occasion to be back on. I think that, that if you'd asked me 30 years ago what I would be doing today and, you know, what kind of collaboration musically I would have going, I think that I probably would have never guessed it would have been Daft Punk.
Yeah. Well, and what was it that led to this collaboration? I mean, you must have been surprised, first of all, to get the call.
I was. I'd actually been on the road with Melissa Manchester, and there's a gentleman named Franco who was an engineer that was mixing our show on the road who was working with Daft Punk. And it turns out that they needed a keyboard overdub, so my music director went in to play something for them. And he heard them talking about Phantom of the Paradise and Paul Williams. And he said, well, I work with Paul. And, you know, and they went, we've been trying to find it, whatever. So they reached out to me I met with them, and it's been an interesting time travel experience for me. First of all, because we met at what was the old A&M Studios, which is now the Jim Henson Studios. So I'm sitting in a studio talking to these guys about an album that is, to me, is really an album almost about time travel in a location that inspired a great deal of time travel memory for me.
And so they saw you as wearing your actor hat in that 1974 film Phantom of the Paradise.
Well, I also, you know, I wrote all the words and music for the film and all that.
Right.
You know, so I wrote the entire song score. For some reason, the film Phantom of the Paradise, which was largely ignored by the rest of the world, was a hit in two cities, Winnipeg in Canada, Winnipeg and Paris. I don't know why, but, you know, I mean, those cities, you couldn't find two cities that are less alike. But for some reason, you know, the French had a wonderful response to the film. And they've said in their interviews that they've seen it, you know, over 20 times.
Now, let me ask you, we're speaking with Paul Williams. When Daft Punk came calling, did you know who they were?
Yeah, you know, by the time they came calling, I'd done a little homework. Nothing would prepare me, though, for their openness in this. When we met, I never got the feeling that I was being invited in to provide wallpaper for a house that was done. You know, so the very first thing that they did is gave me the melody for Touch, and I took it home and wrote the lyrics.
So they gave you the melody for
yes.
Touch.
I'm always described as a composer when, in fact, and I do sometimes write words and music, you know, old-fashioned
right.
love song, I wrote both, but I always write the lyrics. I'm essentially a lyricist first.
Mm-hmm. Although, as you mentioned with Phantom of the Paradise, you wrote that score Oscar-nominated, right, for that?
It was Oscar-nominated. Mm-hmm. I've been nominated 6 times. I won one. Winning is better.
Paul Williams is on the line with us. Let's hear a little bit of his collaboration with the band Daft Punk. The song is really this kind of epic, as we were talking about with Chris Weingarten before. Did you know it was going to become such a big, sprawling, ambitious thing when you were done with it?
I had absolutely no idea. They played me this delicate, pretty little melody. Da di da di da da di da di da 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 di da 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 da. It was so pretty. And you know, basically played it for me on this keyboard. I took it home, wrote words, and they disappeared. And when they came back, you know, they had a track that I put a vocal on. They asked me to sing that one. And then they went away again. And when they returned after, I think it must have been a year, they played me the finished cut, and I was astounded.
Well, this is what it sounds like. Touch from the band Daft Punk.
I remember Touch. Pictures came with Touch, a painter in my mind. Tell me what you see. A tourist in a dream, a visitor, it seems. A half-forgotten song, where do I belong? Tell me what you see. I need something more. Kiss, suddenly alive. Happiness arrive. Hunger like a storm. How do I begin? A room within a room. A door behind a door. Touch, where do you lead? I need something more.
That is a little bit from the song Touch, which my guest Paul Williams wrote the lyrics for and sings on the new album Random Access Memories by the French group Daft Punk, a strikingly different record from them. And for you too, Paul, I mean,
the album is essentially an awakening.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the song, the album is about an awakening. When I heard the album, the first thing, when I heard the cut, they played the first cut. They were in touch for me, and the first thing I said after 8 minutes of listening to this, I said, oh my God, let me see it again. And I went, I mean, can I hear it again? And I think the reason I said see it again is because it's so incredibly visual.
It's very cinematic, yeah.
Very cinematic. Well, I think they're brilliant. I think they're just wonderful, and they certainly are not ageist, because if you can ask Giorgio and I, you know, we will tell you these are two young men who don't look at your driver's license to see how old you are when they make the phone call.
Yeah. And the other song that you wrote lyrics for, called Beyond, those lyrics are sung through this kind of vocoder effect, this processed
yes.
vocal thing. Before we hear that, though, just, you know, Daft Punk got a very... a different record and a very different way of working out of this process. What did you get out of it?
What I got was freedom. What I got was, and you know what? When the record came out, I thought, you know, this is liable to hit the streets, and people are liable to go, "Oh my God, Paul Williams had on a Daft Punk. Where's you know, where are the dance beats and all? This is going to be disgusting." What we've gotten is the most amazing reviews. It's
yeah.
just, you know, and this has been embraced. This album is looking to be a huge album. So, you know, I'm 23 years sober. I'm living a second life. My recovery is intensely important to me. When I look at the work that I've done with Daft Punk, what I see is a real gift. I see a 72-year-old guy who's been given a chance to participate in something that has no boundaries of age, no boundaries of style.
Well, Paul Williams, congratulations on your collaboration with Daft Punk. It's been great speaking with you again. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, and thanks for your good treatment of all the Muppet work as well. I really appreciate you guys, your caring.
Paul Williams, the Academy Award-winning composer, singer, songwriter, director, and actor, did compose Rainbow Connection for the Muppet movie and also wrote the lyrics for this song from the new Daft Punk record. It's called Beyond. That's the Daft Punk track Beyond, which features Paul Williams. And that's going to do it for the show today. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., join us live at soundcheck.org for a session with the art punk duo Japanther. Then tomorrow at 9, the sitcom Arrested Development has returned with a new season released on Netflix. I'll talk with David Schwartz, the show's longtime composer. He's the guy behind that ukulele-driven theme song and memorable tunes like For British Eyes Only.
For British Eyes Only.
And Twitter is leaving its mark on the music industry, specifically on song titles. A slew of artists are adding that hashtag symbol to the names of their tracks. Plus, British soul singer James Hunter joins us to play a few tunes off of his latest album, Minute by Minute. Right now at soundcheck.org, you can take a listen to some brand new music in our Check Ahead feature, where you can listen to a new record before it's released. This week's Check Ahead comes from singer and songwriter Melissa Ferrick. She first gained attention in 1991 as Morrissey's opening act, but has maintained a long independent profile as a solo artist. Now she's going for a much bigger, more unusual sound on her new record.
Taking all the plaids, tie down anything that could fly. Tape up your windows by batteries and candles. Fill up your bathtub, for dishes to wash. Make sure you have enough canned goods, drinking water to last you a week or two, until the storm has passed. Pull out that old Monopoly game, a deck of cards, your cribbage board. Bring in all the dry seasoned wood for the stove. Get up blankets, towels, sweaters, warm socks. Make sure you have enough cat food, a transistor radio. Let your family know you're ready. Check in on your neighbors, call your friends. Fill your tank with gasoline for last resort exit plan. Get yourself to the safety of an interior room. Put a pillow over your head. Don't forget to bring your cell phone. Unplug your whole life. Slow down your pulse. Get as small as you can and pray. Because this is the one they've been warning us about. When everything goes out, darkness is declared. Will you finally understand? I doubt, I think, therefore I am. When the singularness of lonely is as close as our own voice, we will be reminded of the point.
That's Take In All the Plants from singer and songwriter Melissa Ferrick. You can stream her new album all this week at soundcheck.org. Our theme song was composed by New York keyboardist Marco Benevento. It's called Eagle Rock, and it appears on his latest album, Tiger Face. You can find out more about Marco and his music by clicking the link called About Our Theme Song at soundcheck.org. That'll do it for tonight. See you tomorrow at 9. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.